Go, go, go.
No!
Are you a drummer?
Yeah.
Cool. Uh-huh. Well, hello there, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Confused Breakfast Podcast. Do you remember the pure joy of a trip to the Video? The video rental store as a kid? The excitement of walking down the aisles, browsing the names and the artwork, and finally deciding on the movie you were going to take home with you. Sure, it's hard to beat the ease of the modern era and streaming platforms where you don't even have to get off your couch, but there was something truly special about making that trip as a child, picking a movie out by hand, and grabbing some goat cheese pizza on your way home to watch. Mm-hmm. On this podcast, we revisit and dissect some of our favorite childhood movies from that magical era to see if they still move us the way they did as kids. I'm your host, Mike Schulte, and joining me as always, the only two people on record to finish the old 96er, AJ Vence, Sean Pryor. How the heck are you?
We did it together, man.
Yeah, we did it. We did it while looking into each other's eyes, bite by bite, and we did it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were like, we could split this, and then we were like, we both kind of want our names up on the wall, you know?
The story I heard was that Sean finished the whole thing, but then when there was nothing but gristle and fat left over, AJ stepped in like a good friend and said, I'll take care of that.
I was here for that. I was here for you. That's right.
All you got to do is slather that stuff in A1, and it's just like you're eating A1.
Or ketchup, however you like your steak. Yeah.
Nothing sets off the flavor of a steak like some ketchup.
I used to serve at Chili's.
Yeah.
And you knew right away. This was my move. And I'd say, how do you like your steak done? They'd say, well done. I say, can I bring the ketchup out for you? And they're like, yes. How did you know I like ketchup?
How'd you know? Actually, I'm a 57 man myself.
I'm a Heinz.
Want some 57 on my 96er.
I'm hungry, you guys. Please stop.
Actually, I am too. We're so delighted to have you all here with us today. If you're new to the podcast, you are at the beginning of an episode where we take a classic movie that you loved from childhood and give you every single bit of information you could ever need about the movie while dissecting it scene by scene. So stay tuned for all the fun. But before we get started, we want to tell you about a few fun ways to support this podcast and all of our awesome efforts. Number one, you got to hook us up with reviews and subscribe. We love that shit.
Say the word. Say that you like us. Say that you hate us. And again, give us 5 stars anyway.
Yeah. Apple Podcasts is where we really love them. And we always try to read some on the air. So here's that segment that y'all love. Review time.
Review time.
This is from Mike's smiley face dollar sign thing. It's hard. I couldn't figure out what it meant. But it says, is this a podcast or do I have three inner monologues? Okay, found you on TikTok. This is now my favorite podcast. I don't know when I became obsessed. Maybe it was String Things, Shark Bites, Melody Pops.
All right.
Maybe it was the Foot Clan hideout being awesome. Or perhaps all of Dazed and Confused. Oof. I'm 37. Nobody hits home like you guys. Even the little letter Kenny mentioned is so on point. Anyway, looking forward to a possible Great Outdoors review.
Oh. Hey.
Side note, when you talked about the drink, Serge thought you were going to mention Josta. Do you remember Josta?
Wasn't that in a movie we reviewed?
I don't remember.
I don't know.
I don't Somebody feel like Josta. I've ever said the word Josta. It struggled to come out of my mouth.
Yeah.
So, Mikey, thanks so much for the review.
Thanks, Mike. That's awesome.
I saved this one because I knew we were going to do Great Outdoors, and there you are.
There it is.
In fact, boom. If you're writing a review and there's a movie you think we should do, include it.
Yeah.
Because guess what? I'll read it on that episode.
Boom.
Most of the time.
There you go.
Or I might forget.
But I'll remind him.
Sean always does. Way number two to support us, we do have a voicemail. It's Google Voice. Goes straight to the voicemail. Cuts to the chase. 319-804-9596. Leave us a funny message, some kind words. In turn, we will honor your voice with immortality forever in podcast land. Let's listen to today's. Here we go.
Guys, I just wanted to reach in here and hug your neck. This is Kyle Wyatt, the iconic combat from 29 years ago. I'm just checking in on you guys, just making sure everything is okay and you're staying safe. And thank you, thank you, thank you to all the fans out there that pushed my TikTok over 10,000. I love you guys, love the fans, love the show. I sit here in my office and just play your podcast and just laugh. I have to close the door because I've got a young 5-year-old. Because your stuff gets a little gritty. It's a little in there. Take care, guys. keep going. You got this.
That's Kyle Wyatt. Fuck so yeah. He, if you remember from the beginning, he's the original voice of the Mortal Kombat. Mortal Kombat. In fact, you hear him on every one of our episodes.
You'll hear him here soon.
You're going to hear him shortly. He's the man. He's been there from the beginning. He's got a great TikTok. In fact, his link's in the bio. You can click on all the stuff. Great dude. I love his voices. Actually, he talked for like 3 minutes. He was doing like an Australian impersonation at the beginning. I had to cut it out because like we talk forever. But like the guy is so spot on. So go give that guy some love. Kyle Wyatt, link in the bio.
He's a great follow. Give him a follow on TikTok. It's fun stuff.
And last but not least, one final way to support us before we move on here. We got a Patreon, and it's very important to us. You got to get on there. There's some perks. There's some things we're trying to build this show up to, and with all of your support, that's how we get there. The content's always going to stay free here for you guys, but if you want to help us, you go to Patreon. There's like 7 hours of audio just waiting for you, only Patreon members, and for like the next 2 to 3 weeks, you get to vote on one of our upcoming Halloween movies to review. Like, strictly, whatever the most voted Patreon movie is the one we're going to do for Halloween.
You got to do it.
So the poll's up now. You sign up for the $10 tier. You get every one of those possible perks. Patreon.com/confusedbreakfast means the world to us. And here's a few of the OG Patreon supporters. We got Dane, Joel, Tony B, Jordan, Nick Marula, Alicia, Camden Griffith, Francisco Rivera, Cameron J, Kirlana, Big Andy, Bud Larson, and Anita Richard.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you, guys. You're the best.
I think that's how that song goes.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, man. Cool. Well, let's not waste any more time. It's time to introduce today's movie. On this episode, we discuss the late 80s slapstick comedy at its finest, a movie with two of the best actors of the era, a movie that taught us the perils of a vacation to the North Woods with your family, bald-headed killer bears, leeches, water hazards, giant cuts of steak, raccoons and lightning bolts to the head sound terrifying, but are perhaps not as dangerous or scary as those family members living with you in the cabin. We are, of course, talking about 1988's The Great Outdoors. Old 96er.
I don't know how that works.
Let's create a band and call it the Old 96ers.
The Old 96ers. Yeah. I think there's a band called the Old 97.
Old 97s.
We all like them?
Yeah, I think so.
They're kind of like folky.
It's just rock. Rock.
Oh, really?
Stuff.
Yeah, just kind of rock a little bit. Yeah.
I thought the Old 97s were like a German polka band. Am I wrong?
No, that's Candy's other movie.
I don't know what's going on anymore. But before we dive in here, anybody looking for a refresher on this movie, maybe you've never seen it, you can pause, go check it out on streaming. I found it on Starz subscription. I got a Starz subscription somehow. I think that's the one I signed up for like 4 months ago for a 7-day trial.
Because Amazon gotcha.
Yep, and I don't think I've canceled it. So,
and it's really hard to cancel those.
It's very hard.
You have to like call them.
Yeah. It's quite the series of conundrums to just get through, and like customer service reps, it's rough.
And then they're like, "So you really want to cancel?" And you're like, "I don't want to be guilt tripped, you know." Like,
what if I knocked a couple bucks off for you?
No, no, Lisa.
It's $7.99 now. Let's take it down to $6.99. Yeah. I'm sold. All right, so Sean's going to start us off. He always hooks us up with the pertinent, important background info on the movie. Sean, what do you got?
I Need a Vacation. Let's do this. Produced by Arnie Schmidt, Tom Jacobson, and John Hughes. Written by John Hughes. Cinematography by Rick Waite. Casting by Judith Wiener. Directed by Howard Deutsch?
Yeah, we'll call it that.
All right. Pretty in Pink, Some Kind of Wonderful, Grumpy Old Man, The Replacements. Ooh. Directed all those.
Damn.
And here's our all-star cast. John Candy, Dan Aykroyd, Stephanie Farrisee, Annette Bening, Chris Young, Ian Giotti, Hillary and Rebecca Gordon, Robert Prosky, Lucy Deakins, and Bart the Bear.
Bart the Bear. You got to include
famous,
him.
Man. Yeah.
Was this Annette Bening's first role?
It was her first role.
I never looked at it. I figured it was early in her career. First one.
She's great in this. I like a lot of her mannerisms, and we'll get to it.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of her just like, ugh.
Her laugh's so incredible, funny. By yeah. the way.
Roman.
Look, we got new impressionist.
Damn it.
John Hughes, the writer of the film, was originally set to direct it, but scheduling conflicts did not allow that because he was making Planes, Trains, and Automobiles at the same exact time. So I'll get further into it, but he was making like three movies almost like back to back, if not like coinciding with each other. It was this, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, and She's Having a Baby. But I'll get to some of those details a little bit later. The film was originally called Big Country, but they changed the title to not have confusion with Big, which was set to come out around the same time.
That makes sense.
Gotcha.
This wouldn't be the last time Dan Aykroyd and John Candy would star in a movie together. They did Blues Brothers before this, and they would go on to do 1941 and Nothing But Trouble together.
Also, Canadian Bacon.
That's
right. Dan Aykroyd was in that. They were also on Saturday Night Live together, and they grew up. They were teenagers together in Toronto. They were like friends as kids.
Oh my God.
Two of the like greatest comedic voices of the 80s and even into today with Dan Aykroyd still. Cause he's crazy fun to listen to about aliens and everything.
I'm into it.
But yeah, it's cool to hear that they're just like fucking best friends.
That's insanity to think that they both grew up together and then went on to like do cool things together.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's so cool. The Great Outdoors was filmed in Yosemite National Park in California, despite being set in Wisconsin.
Even though sometimes it says Canada, yeah, they're a little goofed up on
I
that.
I don't know what's going on. Released in July 1988, the film made $44.3 million on a $24 million budget. And that is all I have for now.
Deece. So, you know, we always like to give the audience a little bit of insight on what we thought about the movie the first time we saw it. This is not a nostalgia-based podcast. We like to bring up the nostalgia of it, but now we are going to talk about it in, like, modern era. So first, we got to talk nostalgia. AJ, what do you remember about this movie?
I don't remember anything about it.
You don't?
I don't remember anything about it. Now, I'm not saying I haven't seen the movie, okay?
I was going to get close
I wanted to get that out of the way first and foremost. But yeah, I don't remember. I remember a bald bear, a bald-butted bear. I remember a number 96, and I remember John Candy in that little tiny boat.
Awesome.
And that's like all I remembered about this movie, man. And I must have seen it like really young.
Well, 88, I mean, you guys weren't born yet.
I wasn't born yet. So sometime in the 90s, I saw this movie probably on TNT, and I was in and out between homework I didn't want to do. So I have no idea. But the little bits I remember, you know, I do remember being funny because I loved Uncle Buck.
Yeah.
And so I did love John Candy, but John Candy to me was Uncle Buck.
Yes,
Uncle Buck
yes.
was John Candy. So that's how I just assimilated the movie. If I was going to give it a rating, 4.
4?
Yeah, a 4.
It's okay. These are, you know, we're not going to judge you on that because this is pre today.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Sean, what about you, man? What do you remember?
This is a VHS thing that my family would watch. We would literally throw this on. This is just one of those house movies. To our family, we would just throw it on like at the end of the night before going to bed for school and washing up and everything like that. Loved it back then, and we had such a good time with it. And I probably back then, if I had to gauge it, I'd probably be giving it like a 7. It was like, I like movies. I like John Candy. He's on Uncle Buck too. I like that one. So yeah.
Yeah, this was a giant movie for my family. Like, okay. I know my parents are listening to this because they're like, oh, Great Outdoors. I mean, this was told you about my grandma, my dad's mom, and her infectious laugh and like slapstick stuff.
Yes.
I mean, this was one of the movies that made her go nuts.
Awesome.
And right. I mean, we would watch this. This just like got us excited for like family vacations. We'd like, we got to watch Great Outdoors. This might be my most quotable movie. If I could probably tell you every inflection of a voice, because I've watched it so many times. It was definitely, I think we rented it a few times, then we taped it off of VH, like television, and then eventually bought it. I'm like an 8.8, I gotta say, on this one. I mean, as a kid, this was a endlessly watchable movie for me.
So, I'll try to tone it back on this episode if I know that your mom and dad are listening.
No, well, they listen to most
of them. With the Fs.
You've done very well for yourself. I went back and listened to a couple of our first episodes, and I was like, whoa, Sean was a little raunchy there.
So letting Giannis know, like, right away, okay, what they're getting into.
This is what I came to do, okay?
I think I was
Witches get me really excited.
I think I was like, welcome to the first episode of the Confused Breakfast Show. I was like, fucking motherfucking yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah, get those nerves out, I guess.
Walk up here side to side, front to back. All right, well, before we get into the scene-by-scene analysis, AJ always does some research for us, hooks us up with the critical audience reviews, the stuff we like to know to set the tone. What do you got here? I got a feeling this is going to go bad, especially from the critics.
Do you think so?
I feel like critics hated this movie. Think that's my guess.
Well, critical reviews start on the what? The tomato meter!
Yeah!
Yeah, right. All We're doing it still. Okay. The tomato meter. 44%
okay.
On the tomato meter.
I guess that's okay.
It's not as bad as some of what you've seen.
No. What is our worst of all time so far? Does everybody remember? Critical is the worst of all time is blank check.
Blank check.
Nine.
Okay. I was going to say Three Ninjas.
Single digit.
A nine.
Yeah, Great Outdoors, 44% on the tomato meter. Audience score, though, did get some redemption at 70%.
That's about right.
70%. Moving over to IMDb, do you guys still want to guess on this?
I'm skewed on this one. I don't know where to go on this one.
Okay. I'm going to guess this is critics.
Yeah. Well, no, this is IMDb.
This is fans.
Okay.
Fan stuff.
I'm going to say 5.5.
6.6.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
And I mean, darn it.
I mean, sorry, Sue.
She dang it. Looking at those critical reviews, honestly, the best it got for most of them was like a 5. Hmm. Like, most of them were like a 5 or a 50 out of 100. I think so. That means on the good side, Dave Care of the Chicago Tribune gave it a 50. Even for John Hughes, who writes movies in less time than most people write postcards, The Great Outdoors seems unusually slapdash.
Mm.
I don't know what that term really means.
I said slapstick earlier.
Yeah.
I think I get it. Like he's writing like a slapstick movie in like a hurry.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, okay.
The Miami Herald said, The Great Outdoors isn't great. The Dopey Outdoors would be more like it. It's wildly uneven, yet consistently dumb.
I would watch that movie if it was called The Dopey Outdoors.
I think that means something different, dude.
Oh, shit.
The New York Times, though the film never becomes actively unfunny, neither does it do much more than tread water. The raccoons have a better time than the audiences will. And thanks, New York Times. Okay, I'll give you a good. Well, all the good ones are pretty much standard across the board. John Candy and Dan Aykroyd are a must see in this comedy venture. And it's just like, okay, we get it. We all love them. Okay. So I kind of go. I like to go middle of the pack because people get unreasonable.
Uh-huh.
And like when you're talking about three to six stars,
we trust you, man. Yeah. That's why we put you in charge of the segment.
Sounded the gong inside 30 minutes. This is a 3 out of 10. This will not be a fair review, but a timely one. This movie has been unfunny in the 80s, but to a 65-year-old in 2019, seeing it for the first time, it's deadpan awful.
Wow.
The characters are unbelievable. They remind me of high school kids reading lines. The movie just didn't age well. Maybe it improved after 30 minutes, but I thought it was a total waste of time, and I hardly laughed at all. This is a recommendation to me from someone who had fond memories of the movie, and I look forward to seeing it. I really regret that I had to rent it from Amazon. So did we. I own well over 1,000 discs. Sean's is... and if I could go back in time, I would have been happy to replace the 30 minutes with any one of them.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, I respect that watching it for the first time. That's what he thought. He didn't say, hey, steer away from this stupid movie. He's just kind of telling his thoughts.
Right.
I respect it.
So if you like outdoors, you won't like this movie.
If you like this movie, you are lower than an ant in my book.
Which is an excellent segue to our last review. 1 out of 10 stars in 1999, Crobot 2 said just plain bad. This is always my favorites, the way they start out like this. This is without a doubt the worst movie I have ever seen.
The worst? Really?
Have you seen what exists out there? Have you seen Hard Ticket to Hawaii?
hey, that's different.
Okay? All right.
I know what you mean, but that's different.
Have you seen Rollerball with what's his Klein face? Never mind.
It's mainly a paper-thin story sewn together by some awful potty jokes. Though it does get credit for the famous blow-it scene, this movie has nothing to offer for anyone over the age of 2.
Blow it scene?
The blow it
scene. So you completely got that wrong, too.
Thank you.
Are they saying, like, blow it out your ass?
I don't know.
They didn't elaborate, so we can't assume.
We can't.
We'll never know.
Yeah.
We're going to never fucking know.
Yep, all right, exactly.
Crowbot, hit us up.
That's it. Crowbot.
Well, hey, before we get started, though, I want to give a quick shout out to our sponsor, Cedar Ridge Distillery. As this podcast started to catch on, we had numerous companies reach out to us about being a sponsor. I mean, like...
several. Walmart.
Walmart, Target, then Schwinn. Was like, well, Walmart did it. It's Target. Schwinn. Oh, dude, yeah. Applebee's came in.
Yep. Kmart.
Dude, Costco.
Costco, too.
If it was Costco, we're on fucking Costco. I know. Like, we're going to Costco.
But it doesn't overlap with this sponsor. We knew we wanted to partner with someone local, and we definitely knew we wanted to rep somebody that we actually used and loved. So partnering up with Cedar Ridge Distillery was a no-brainer for us. One of the fastest-growing whiskey companies in America, who was named Distillery of the Year in 2017, which is made right in our backyard, and we do truly love all their products, from the quintessential American single malt, their whiskey collaboration with Slipknot.
People equal shit! People equal shit!
And of course, the flagship bourbon, which I am drinking right now. If you're in Iowa or around the Midwest, you can likely find some at your favorite local establishments. If you want to give it a shot but are elsewhere in the country, like a few of our friends have reached out so far, you can order online at cedarridgewhiskey.com. We truly hope you'll make it a point to grab some of this delicious whiskey. Honestly, I have a glass every night. It just calms me down from the shit of the world. It makes me feel warm inside, especially like on a nice winter's evening.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh,
but yeah. I mean, truly, we're so glad that you're going to check them out. We're so happy to have them supporting our podcast. So leave us a message. Tell us what you think. If you grabbed a bottle, we want to hear all about it.
Totally.
And of course, you need to enjoy it responsibly.
Absolutely. Please. CedarRidgeWhiskey.com.
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 Hey, it's Jacob Givens. You may know me as the guy who reacts to those 90s songs for the first time, but when I'm not making awesome videos on my TikTok account, at the Jacob Givens, I'm listening to the Confused Breakfast Podcast. And now, back to the show.
Well, boys, what do you say we pack the family station wagon and head north to the woods to enjoy a week of endless relaxation at Lake Potawatomi Minimac?
We're going to give a dog a bone.
We're going to cruise the lake in comfort and make precious memories with our family.
Yeah.
Or will we?
That's not my joke, by the way. That's my girlfriend's. I have to give her credit.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Don't hold back.
Chester Chet Ripley, his wife Connie, and their two sons Buck and Ben arrive on summer vacation at a lake resort in Wisconsin. The cabin is in disarray, and to make matters worse, Connie's sister Kate, her investment broker husband Roman Craig, and their mostly silent twin daughters Mara and Kara unexpectedly arrive uninvited. The families settle in.
Hell yeah, dude. So as far as opening credits go, and if you want to pick a song to get us through an opening credits, you pick Yakety Yak.
Yeah. Because by the Coasters,
by
right?
By the Coasters. I don't know. I'm into it.
I was immediately in a good mood when this movie started. Yeah. I was like, yeah.
Well, the part of it, though, that that adds to it is that everybody's in on it. This is not like the tropey family of like, oh, the silent and grumpy daughter who
Christmas Vacation when they're going out singing songs.
Harry and the Hendersons.
And then the little boy who likes icky things and just get, so they got the two boys and like even Buck, the older one's in on it.
He gets
like,
in the saxophone solo, dude. Like, come on, man.
They're having a good time together. It's the most normal family I've ever seen on TV because it's never like the other ones. You know, this is very, very like, very normal.
But it's cool because there's an immediate juxtaposition of Roman and Chet.
Yeah.
Which is... But it's so cool because Chet's interacting with his family, windows down, singing songs where likely there is no speaking going on in the other car with tinted windows all the way up.
Right.
Completely juxtaposed. There's old time music versus some new hip trendy song, whatever the hell that song is. They've got Chet's got a regular license plate. Roman's got a vanity plate. Chet's in plain vacation clothes. Roman's in expensive business clothes. Like it's amazing how they juxtapose.
Leisure jacket.
Yeah.
What a gas.
What a gas, huh?
Well, this is very unfair, Roman.
Oh, they'll be tickled to see us. The one brother says, you messed up the words in like the chorus or something like that. It's like, the words are yakety yak. How do you fuck that up?
I think what our reviewer was talking about, the blow it scene, I'm thinking about, this is my prop. This is my prop.
Okay, yeah.
For prompt service, blow me.
Hell yeah.
It's that horn. Like, I don't want the horn, I want the sign.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
And that's amazing. That's what you expect to see in this stuff. For prompt service, blow me.
Yeah.
I fucking love it.
If we're diving in already, I'm going to take the shotgun lamp.
Oh,
got it. Yes, got it.
Sorry, dude. What do you get? You can think about it if you want to.
I'm gonna go with this because it's the best boat name in the entire world. Suck My Wake. I need Suck My Wake in my driveway, and I need to drive that and have people suck my wake.
Suck My Wake.
Suck My Wake. It's a Red Hot Chili Pepper song.
If you find any friends, you know, bring them back. We'll give them a ride on Suck My Wake.
And so we got to talk, though, about how much I love Wally and his wife.
Yeah.
You know what his wife's name is? Did you ever catch it? Did you ever pick up on it?
Uh-uh.
So old man Wally runs the store, and his wife's there. You know, Wormer, get the hell out of here. You know, his wife's name's Juanita, apparently.
Whoa.
Yeah. Juanita. Hates people, loves porcupines. Too bad you're not a dog.
She's in heat, too. Too bad you're not a dog.
Too bad you're not a dog. But do you recognize that guy?
I do. What's he from?
So the only thing I recognize him from is he's Mr. Lundy from Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yes,
he's the TV exec or whatever.
Yes, that's right.
He's got a really long list of stuff, but they were very B roles.
Yeah. Very much.
I think his name is Robert Prosky. I think that's him.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
But some more of the lines they say, even when they pull up to the house, he's laying on the hood when they pull up. and she goes, it's all redecorated inside. Sank almost $300 into that, not including what we spent on Lysol. Yeah. And then at the very end. Yeah, he even goes, Chet goes, how could we not in a place like this? He goes, well, you can get shits from the well water.
What did he say? I didn't catch it. I don't know.
I love how like Wally becomes like friends with them as the movie goes on. Where in the beginning he's kind of like, yeah, fuck these city guys. I just love their interaction somehow.
Well, I saw like when the first time the dog jumped up and had the quills in its face, I'm like, damn, that sucks. But then when it got out of the car and the shots from even further away, I can see it even more clearly. The quills or pines in that dog's face. That thing got messed up by a porcupine.
Loves porcupines.
Hates people.
God.
Oh, yeah. I just have the music Roman's listening to is perfect. It just every time it cuts to that, it's so fun. But I would get all buttered up and stuff, too, if I was getting that candy charm.
Yeah.
Do you
feel that? Because, like, I feel like he's very... Women would be happy to be mesmerized by John Candy. He's like, such a cool guy.
I mean, okay, like he's not traditionally attractive. Let's say that.
Yes, okay.
Let's say that. I find him a fucking amazing person and everything like that, and I think he's a good looking man. But can we agree with that? He's not traditionally attractive.
Okay, we can agree on that.
That doesn't matter when you're the most charming person in the entire world.
Right.
You know, like that. what he's doing to her, I'm just, and the relationship, man, their yeah. dynamic is so much fun. We'll get into it a little bit later, like after the boat scene and everything yeah. like that. But I love them together. It's They've so much fun to watch.
A completely believable relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're a guy named Bert. You're
Shilana.
Shilana.
Temptress of the Woods.
Temptress of the Woods. Roman bursts in there with the video yeah. camera, dude.
I know. How messed up is that, that you're just watching it go on and you... Like, there is no inkling in that entire family's mind, like, oh, I'm going to keep recording them basically getting naked. Yeah. Like, that is so messed up.
Yeah.
It is, like, the creepiest thing I've ever seen. It's like, you let your kids watch this go on? You really don't fucking give a shit, man.
He really doesn't.
Really doesn't care.
We'll get into it a little later, too, but, like, he does not give a fuck about those kids.
He doesn't.
I mean, if they're like that... And evil looking. I have a whole diatribe a little bit later about those two kids, but I don't like them.
Do you sense the presence of an alien life form?
Oh my god!
So now to mention it, I think you do.
I think you do.
Well, it's funny. It's funny they played that Twilight Zone theme songs because Dan Aykroyd was in the first bit of the Twilight Zone the movie that came out. I'm not sure how later it was after this or yeah. earlier, but he was in that, he was in cool. the first scene. And so, yeah, there's a little nod.
So we get to the conversation on the porch yeah. between Dan Aykroyd and John yeah. Candy. I think that is just one of the greatest scenes of this
it's
movie.
It's so funny. I am reminded of AJ every time I see John Candy perform, like agreeing with them, but yeah. like also being really fucking pissed off that he's here. He's like, yeah, yeah, it was really great. Yeah. And the whole weekend you're going to be here.
Oh, oh, just tickled. Oh man, that's great. Yeah,
wouldn't that be something?
The passive aggressiveness of it.
That'd be something if you just died first. First and foremost,
see a bunch of people that you hate just drop dead. No, it's like it's so good. They're back and forth, like even the like what do you see and how yeah. Roman just has this yeah. this like line that he's probably been practicing all day of how he's gonna implement all these big words into like. Showing his dominance, and John Candy's like, I just see trees.
Trees. Trees. Well, nobody ever accused you of being a visionary.
It's just nope. like, it's like, no, they didn't.
No.
Well, and they even, there was a, I remember these, which is why it finally stood out to me. I did not see these as a kid.
Are you talking about the cups?
Dude, tell me about them.
Okay, so the cups, I noticed.
I didn't see them as a kid.
Not at all.
No.
And so I have an E.T. one of those. Mm-hmm. So, okay, so Burger King back in the day put out these like vanity cups, like glassware.
And they were like big movies.
Yeah,
right?
For certain movies. I think they did Back to the Future and they did Star Wars. And I think this was Return of the Jedi. And so what they're drinking out of is one of them is I think Han Solo just reaching out or something like that. And then the other one is something else. But they're the Star Wars cups from Burger King when yes. they released those back in the 80s.
Wow. Which is just sitting there. Just yeah. So that makes me wonder, were they just inside the cabin?
They had to have been.
They're not bringing those with yeah. them. Like, we got to bring Star Wars cups.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh yeah, Wally went to Burger King just yeah, like yeah. on his lunch break. And
but so that would have been Empire Strikes Back would have been 1980. So like
yeah.
they're old cups at this point.
Oh yeah. Oh true.
You know what, they're not new, so he probably had these at his house and put them in the new cabin sure. and just said, "Well, yeah. this is the glassware."
I do think it's either that or it is the fact that they're like, well, these are just kind of old. Like, 8 years difference is like, these have been sitting around the house for a while. We'll just make these the camp cups.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
We don't use them anymore.
We don't really use them much. We'll take them with it. They break, it doesn't matter. You know what I mean?
They're the cups that, like, you have for so long, they just completely fog over for, yeah. like, permanently, even yeah. though how much you watch them. Yeah. Wash them.
Oh, that's just such a great, as they're settling into in the hot dogs conversation.
I got to mention this too.
The lobsters.
The fucking cigar Roman smokes is yeah. obnoxious yeah. as fuck, dude. It's the tiniest like toothpick of cigar.
And you know, he's got this like little like bag. Like yeah. it's almost like a fanny pack that has all of his cigar
stuff. Oh, really?
Stuff
so he yeah. makes them.
You see it multiple times. He's got it on his lap during that scene where he's like possibly rolling these cigars himself. And then even when they go home, when they leave later in the movie to go home before he turns around, it's sitting on his dashboard, this little fanny pack that he has. So
Jesus.
It's fucking awesome. I just love that.
Well, yeah, and his the juxtaposition as we talk about with these two, he brings lobster tails, and yes. Like, do you just have lobster tails on you at all times?
No,
like, I could see someone be like, yeah, I got hot dogs in my car. I'm like, that's kind of weird, but cool.
That's fine.
Like, if someone's like, yeah, I got lobster tails, everyone can come grab them. I'm like, how the are you like some Italian mobster? Or like, what's going on?
I keep one of those styrofoam coolers in the back of my car.
Just full of lobster. With
dry ice and lobster tails, just in case.
Well, that's good. Cool for you, man. I love that for you.
He says they're at $28 a pop.
A pound.
A pound? Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's what he says.
$28 a pound?
I think he says a pound.
I thought they were a piece. Maybe it's a pound. Either way, it's fucking obnoxious.
That's a lot of money.
And you know what that translates to today?
Well, I was going to ask you, but I figured you'd get there.
$28 would be $64.75 today.
And you know that Roman's just making that up. These are probably just shit lobsters he got somewhere. They're just like, oh, yeah, they're so expensive. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's just blowing smoke, man, the whole time. He is the quintessential like person you don't want to come on your family vacation.
He's the one guy that we didn't want to show up.
Yeah, going to town tomorrow. How about we pick out a ski boat, huh, boys? And you're just like, dude, stop. Are you a jet boat? Yeah, jet boat.
Sorry, Dad.
Sorry, Dad. Straight from the boy's mouth.
Yeah, we were going to get a pontoon boat. Pontoon boat? We're going to retake Omaha Beach?
You're take off.
That's such a great line.
Lost my mind.
Oh no! You know, you could go out there. You could swim from it. You could fish from it. Take the barbecue out on it. You know,
cruise the lake in comfort.
He's like, well, you boys want to cruise the lake in comfort? Or you want to go get a jet boat?
Or he's like, Uncle Roman. You want to blow some coin with Uncle Roman on a jet boat?
Blow some coin.
Do you? I know a person like Roman. Do you guys have a person like Roman in your life?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So it's like the kind of know-it-all uncle. I'm not saying it's one of my uncles or anything if people are listening out there. It's the one that's just like he drives like a motorcycle, and he's kind of too – I mean, I guess you're never too old to ride a motorcycle, but you're too old to like really like – talk it up, like talk a big game, like yeah, there's a carbine engine in there and stuff like that. It's like, actually, I invented carbine engines back in 1963 and stuff. Nice. So they actually named them after me. My name's Dave, and I'm like, so why the name after you? It's called carbine. He's like, anyway, so I got $28 lobster tails in my trunk. You know? Like, I just know a person who's just like, just won't shut up. And it's like, dude, I know everything that you do is way better than everybody else, but just shut the fuck up.
I think there's a family dynamic in large extended families where again, none of my uncles were like Roman. But,
sure.
But there are some that are the cooler uncle more than others, that they're more willing to do cool things to make you think they're cool.
Yeah,
sure.
And like, in fact, I'll be
You got it. Self-deprecating.
Self-deprecating.
You got it. Yep.
But like, I think I'll be that way to my brother's kids. Like, I'm going to be Roman and he's going to be Chet. And I know it, and I'm trying to stop myself from getting there, but I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
Cause like I want his kids to like me.
My nieces aren't to the age yet where they understand that Bert Kreischer knows that we exist.
Someday though. But that's why I don't like when people say you can't relate to movies like this. Cause like there's such those family dynamics exist all over the place. And they exaggerate them a little bit, but like you can see what's going on here. Like Chet just really wants to be. To show his son, to like bond with his sons and have this week that he had with his dad. And then Roman shows up.
Yeah.
And he knows right away, like, Roman's going to be buying jet boats and doing lobsters. And he's not going to get to do the cool things he wants to do with his son. Yeah. And it's very frustrating for him.
I totally get it.
You know what hot dogs are made out of, right, guys? Mm. Lips and assholes. Yeah.
If I can market lips like this, I'll make another million.
He straight up kisses his wife. Yeah. I'd be like, get out. Out now.
Yeah. It's like, John Candy's too nice.
Damn.
That laugh that he does, he goes,
I must be some sucker for assholes.
I could love John Candy. All right, let's move this on.
All right.
So Chet tells a story about a giant grizzly bear that he met when him and Connie were here on their honeymoon. The next day, Roman pulls Chet around the lake on an impromptu water ski ride with his rented speedboat. That night, the family's going to town for some activities.
The bear story is so fucking good.
It feels like he's telling a true story that he's literally telling, like, that was not in the script.
Yes.
Yeah.
I Like every time I see this scene, this is what I talk about when I talk about like I love story time in movies.
Yes.
Like I am just once he starts, I'm like yes. I got like a blanket over me and then like you know like a glass of whiskey or like just some juice or something like that. I'm just like go on,
yeah,
go on. This is great.
And then
yeah.
what?
And then what? Yeah, exactly. I'm like, and he's such a good storyteller, and I love this story.
That's the thing. He is such a great storyteller. You could just tell, like, and he I love how he sets the stage himself. He yeah. starts walking around.
He's been
around
planning this.
He's oh, yeah. like, he's so ready because, yeah, this is one of his things that he wants. It's like the pontoon boat.
Yes. His boys are finally old enough to hear the story.
He's been like, this is the night I'm going to tell the yeah. story.
He's like, okay, we're going to start
Do you have
up.
The bottle of Everclear? Okay, oh. put it in my glass. Yeah, okay, we're yeah, good.
That's right. Ah, you know, and he's like walking around. He's dimming the lights. And so he's like, oh, hey, I was reading. And it's just like,
oh, honey, Buddy Reeser died.
Yeah. Who fucking cares? Okay.
Yeah. See, again, Roman's just saying things to say things.
You know it's a kind of a shitty person who reads somebody dies, and then she's like, oh, wasn't he a mentor of yours?
Well, one of the people I admired.
One of those people I admired. He just makes it about him. The death of somebody he knew, he makes it about him. And you're just like, you are terrible. You're so terrible. And but again, coming back, John Candy's just setting the stage and setting the mood, and he's like dimming lights, and it's just the shadows that he's casting, mm-hmm. and you can tell it's getting to Ben, and I don't know, I you feel like for a moment you're kind of included in the little circle.
Yeah, absolutely.
He takes it further though too. Yeah. Like Chet was really into it.
Yeah.
Because even Ben goes, is she still around? And Connie, oh no, honey, no. She may be out there. Like he could have easily just agreed, but he wanted to keep going.
He just had to keep pushing it, man. Just had to keep
hungry, bloodthirsty.
One of my favorite
ever.
Shots in like Annette Bening being fucking amazing is like the it'll cut to like POV reactions sometimes, and it cuts to her. She's just like wide eyed, like his like steaks or something like that.
Were immense.
She's like,
on her fourth martini.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and I just love the way the flashbacks of it when it goes to like into the story. Flashback Candy wearing a frayed leather jacket.
It's pretty awesome.
He just looks like a pimp, man.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it so
He's
much.
He's got weird like hippie sandals on too. Did you notice that?
It looks like before he became the security guard at Wally World or something, man. That's like what he looks like. It's like he grew up into that job he got and is like, well, I can't keep being it. I gotta provide for my wife now.
I'm married now.
Yeah.
I love right after
25 pounds overweight, you can't do that to me anymore.
I felt my plaque start flowing again.
I love that Chet is talking with Ben, being like, yeah. It's just a story, like this and that. It's my father told it to me, his father told it to him, now I'm telling it to you, it's fine. And then cut to
good evening.
He greets his kids, he just walks in. Good evening.
And he uses big words. And he even goes,
he tells a more horrifying
story.
Yeah,
he tells a more, an even worse story.
It's a terrifying thing. It's like, oh yeah, people like these soldiers that escaped from an asylum, and it's just like flesh eating.
They followed them, fell upon them, and ate them. And that gave me nightmares, not to be believed.
Yeah, I really believe, but yeah, but those two girls are just like. Like, they're emotionless, but they're just mortified. They just don't move for an entire night. Like,
but it's cool, those little mini details of even watching Dan Aykroyd, he hears Chet telling, consoling his kids, so he goes, oh, okay, so, like, this is what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to do this.
Yeah.
And it's those underlying things, like, Roman does... like look up to Chet and in the way that he can connect with his kids. Like he even says that the next morning, he goes, yeah. Why can't my kids connect with me?
He's like, why do Chet's kids look at him like he's Zeus and mine look at me? What does he say?
He goes, why did Chet's kids look at him like he's Zeus and mine look at me like I'm a rack of yard tools from SEALs? I mean, why can't they connect with me? It's amazing. Like, cause he really does. He cares about that. Like,
maybe you should try to spend more time. Hang on, honey, put a cork in it.
Talking about
hang on, talking business.
Jesus Christ.
He just shuts her down.
But you know what I realized this time around, trying to be more critical? He asked this person, who apparently is a minister, if he's got about 5 minutes, 25 grand.
Right.
So, but that's what he also asked Chet for later.
Right.
So I have a theory that he didn't come up to do this to Chet. he wasn't trying to get this money from Chet, but because he had a couple more angles to run, and he couldn't get it, so then he turned that to Chet.
Last,
it
was kind of last minute,
because he asked this guy for $25,000,
yeah,
and then that's what he asked Chet for. Mm. So I don't know.
He's been working it, you know.
He's been working that angle.
It's yeah. It seems like he's trying to cover his bases, you know.
He doesn't want to do this to Chet.
It's kind of sociopathic in a way, and maybe it's more selfishness, I guess, because it's just like a sociopath would like look at someone else for an example of how to be a human, you know what I'm saying? So like he's looking at Chet like consoling his son and everything. He's like, I guess I should probably do that. I'm a human, so I should probably act like a human, you know what I mean? Like but like a lot of businessmen like that, a lot of like higher up people in like business are sociopaths and psychopaths, so I don't know.
There you go. That's how they get to where they're at.
That's honestly they crush other people and they don't give a fuck.
AJ, I have a question for you. Did you always think that water skiing was going to be a bigger deal than it was? Have you ever water skied before?
No, but I have been tubing, and I didn't like tubing either. So I like every time I've gotten onto like something that's pulled by a boat.
Yeah,
I was like, I don't want to do this.
This is weird.
Yeah, this is weird, and I'm gonna swing into a boat or ducks or like something bad.
What did you guys think about that slapsticky? Entirely like 4 minute long skiing
way
montage.
Too long, way too. I'm like, he's the one thing that he says is like, what are you gonna do? Oh, there's trouble. There's trouble. What are you gonna do? Let go of the rope. And the entire time he's holding on to it, you know.
It's, go loose when you fall.
Watching dads try to teach their kids who have never done something before is to me one of the most comical things ever, because of how upset they get because their kid isn't grasping something they've literally never done before.
I don't think John Candy's ever done it either.
Yeah, exactly.
Or sorry, Chet's never done it.
But like he's trying to, you know, tell him about what's going on, and you know, Roman's being understanding actually in the boat, and he's just like, well, what's the holdup? And he's like, well, he just wants to make sure Benny's gonna be safe, you know. Yeah, he was giving him some pointers and stuff, and I kind of like that about Roman in that scene. But I've seen like people in like my neighborhood that I've seen before that are like, they're like teaching their kid how to throw a baseball and they're just getting mad. I don't mean upset. I mean like mad. It's like, well, put your glove up in the air. Get in front of it. Why are you you don't know.
Is it Bill from the Sandlot?
Keep your eye on the ball.
Keep your eye on the ball.
Oh my God. He's just like basically screaming and mumbling words at this kid until they're just frustrated beyond belief. And I feel like John Candy, I feel like Chet is like, he's kind of at that point, like, call the rope.
Well,
it's
speaking
so
of,
funny to watch.
Speaking of his kids, like, it was Buck. We'll get to a little bit later too, but there's a scene where he's like, I'm gonna care if I just like go and see what the town looks like and everything. Yeah. He's like four chili cheese dogs dead. They're for everybody.
And I'm hungry.
But he's like, oh, give me a hug. He's like, I'm too old for hugs. I'm like, shut the fuck up. Especially if your dad is Chet.
Yeah,
like John Candy himself, you know, like you give that man a hug. Like, I don't care. Like, he just reminds me of my dad, to be honest. Yeah. It's like my dad, if I told my dad, like, I'm too old for hugs, I would feel so heartbroken for him, you know, like what? That's such bullshit. I don't know. I just don't like it.
This is, again, like I'm talking about coming from a family. It's all boys or whatever. There's four of us. And like there's a 10-year span of us between me and my oldest brother. I'm the youngest. He's the oldest. I will tell you, that is exactly how it goes, though. Like, the younger brother's like, well, what about the bear pit or whatever it's
what
called?
What about the bear dump?
The bear dump. And then, like, but the older brothers, they want to go cruise the town, you know? They want to go explore the town. And
I was an older brother.
You see, same thing. You want to go check it out,
we'll,
you know?
We'll talk more about summer romances later.
Okay.
Patreon. Okay.
Well, whatever. Maybe there, yeah.
Yeah, but that is totally how it goes, though. Like I say, this is the most normal family dynamic I've ever seen in a movie, because Chet is understanding, because it's his older boy. He's like, yeah, but come on back. You know, we're going to have some family time, okay? We're going to do that.
The men, the guys, the whole nine yards.
Yeah, we're supposed to do that. He's like, but you go do you, and then you come
back.
You know?
Awesome.
It's very cool.
Yeah.
And the other end of it is that Buck isn't a shithead.
Buck's actually pretty cool.
He's not a total shithead. No. He's just like, I want to do my own thing. I'm growing up, you know? So I love that about this movie, man.
Yeah, the ski scene is still pretty amazing, but it does get a little slapsticky and a little long.
Yeah,
but I still love it. I think the music's great. I swear to you, maybe this is the nostalgia talking, but I think it's John Candy on the skis. Like the stunt double, I know it's not him, but it's pretty good.
It's pretty close. Yeah.
Like that's John Candy. He's on the skis. He always has been in my head.
One thing, like the whole let go of the rope thing, I can't understand, but what I can understand is him, "You bastard." I can understand that being misconstrued as go faster. Yeah. That sounds like go faster.
He wants to go faster. Yeah. My and I'll probably talk about it more later, but it's very present on the skis as well, is a lot of John Candy's over the top expressions of like when he sees the bear, or when he's like on the ski and sees the ducks. he's like, his facial expressions are so over the top, and I love it so much, even though I probably shouldn't. I'll be honest with you, I shouldn't like how over the top these expressions are.
It's the late 80s, man. That was just like how things were.
It's like, but I was all in for it. I don't know why.
I still was today. And I love some of the, I don't feel like the critics are unfair a little bit on this. Some of the writings I thought was amazing in this movie. When he gets back and he does the drawer thing where he has to, I mean, like we've all been there in an old palace and the drawer comes out slow. But, you know, like Connie's trying to convince him to stay.
Yeah.
And she goes, "What about the kids?"
He's like,
and John Candy says, what about his kids? I'm waiting for their heads to start rotating and vomit pea soup.
They're spooky.
she goes, "No, what about our kids? Our kids already do that." that's pretty good. I like that a lot.
That's the subtlety that comes with a John Hughes film writing.
You're right.
And John Candy delivering it.
Absolutely.
That's the balance of that, because they have that experience already together, I think they did because of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, right? It was
going on right as they were doing this movie.
So they've had some chemistry already before, and he knows how to deliver these lines in the way that I kind of feel like only John Candy can.
Honestly.
You know?
He probably writes for him.
Yeah, I feel like he very well could, you know? And I mean, it becomes even more apparent later on when you're talking about, again, like his small part in Home Alone and things like that.
He just knows how to write relationships. And I feel like because he's fucking mad. Chet's mad as hell. Like, ready to leave. Like, I want to go. And his wife's like, "It's just chill out." And she really chills him out. And then, like, they become, you know, he, like, tackles her down on the ground. He's like, "Why do you do this to me? Why do you do this?"
Yeah.
I fucking love it so much.
She's like, "Because I'm crazy about you.
Yeah.
Kiss me."
I love it.
She's done this before. Yeah. She's talked Chet off the ledge before. She's like, "Oh, okay,
one of those things. Crazy?" Yeah, stop. Okay.
All right.
I don't know. It's so human to me. I love it a lot.
And so human is the best way it could be said about that family. Yeah. And then you explode the other family onto it, and it is not human.
Okay. There is one. Roman's wrong about a lot of things in this movie, but Roman is correct about one thing. We're going to Whitewater. We're going to see a 46-inch bus singing "Bird and Love."
Hell yeah!
Like,
dude.
we are going to go see a female Elvis impersonator over a 109-year-old man celebrating his birthday.
Yeah,
Roman is correct.
Yeah,
46-inch bust all the way, you guys.
But I get, like, it's so Chet, it's so John Candy's character to want to go to a 109-year-old man's birthday.
He's had the courage to live on this earth 105 years.
Well, you put it like that, God damn it! But still, "Bird and Love."
Okay, since we're at that point, and he's like talking to Wally, is his name Wally?
Wally, yeah.
And he's like, just like a seltzer water or whatever. I'm driving tonight. And he's like, "Oh, you look really nice." And he's like, "Oh, yeah, thanks." And like, Wally's being very normal right now. And then
normal.
Yeah, like, why is he so normal? And then he's like, he probably should have the kids climbing on him like that.
He
ain't no jungle gym. He's like, "Oh, it's fine. He's an old man. They're just little kids."
What
it's
old man
sweet.
Doesn't
it's
want a, two little girls kissing him on the cheek?
It's endearing. He's like, he died on the way.
But Bill died in the car on the way over here. Oh, Jesus, Dad.
So
you got to be kidding me.
So he's like, "What's your problem?" He's like, "It's his fault." Like he's pointing at the yeah. dead guy. It's like you brought the dead body into a room
and set him up like yeah. he was just sitting there.
This is like some Weekend at Bernie shit that he's pulling.
You actually kind of notice. I always try to look at different angles when yeah. we're doing this show. There's a lady in the background that, as they're going up to talk to him, this lady goes, "Ugh!" Like she kind of gave him a look. Like, don't they know he's dead?
Oh no! Like what the fuck?
Get him on ice, stat, dude.
Do you want to?
He's gonna start. He's decomposing soon.
Do you want to talk about some? It's a very weird reference. So I apologize in advance. But at the same time, in old days, awake used to be that they would bring in a body and set them up,
and you'd party around.
And you would party around them.
Finnegan's Wake, dude.
And this is what they do.
I mean,
it's like this
maybe
weird
this
reference.
What it was.
Like
they're pretty out there in the North Woods. Like,
yeah,
they're away from civilization.
You're right.
Bill died in the car on the way
Bill
over.
Bill died in the car on the way over. It's like, oh my God, Dad.
All right, so Buck tries to romance a local girl named Cammy that he meets at the pool hall, and Chet takes Ben to the bear dump. That night, Buck and Chet share a nice father-son moment on the lake. The next morning, the families go out for a day of activities, including golf, go-karts, horseback riding, and drinks at the bar.
A bear dump is a thing?
It was back in the 80s.
Oh, really?
I meant to read up a little bit more on it than I could, but same. Apparently it was a real thing that was meant to be an attraction for people that they could pull up and they basically just put trash and bears came in and apparently they went away for obvious reasons, right? One being that the bears were eating fucking trash. And getting sick and dying,
yeah.
and two, that there would be interactions between humans and bears that you don't want.
Yeah.
Fuck, dude.
So, yeah, like, apparently that was a thing. The 80s were weird, guys.
Dude.
Do you want to go to one?
It's like, I mean, I would, for sure. I'm a sucker for attractions like that. Like, if there's, like,
you
a roadside thing,
and shit like that?
I will go to a
flea farm.
Sean's going out there to throw fucking Zagnuts at the bear.
Nice Zagnut.
Zagnut for you, huh? And, dude, all I can think of when he did that and he tags the bear in the ass with that Zagnut is the equivalent of Chunk throwing the baby Ruth at Sloth's face. It's all I can think of. I'm like, what other way to literally poke a bear, you know, into this bullshit, like, just so you can have this, like, small moment?
Dude.
Like, fuck.
And how good is the music in the background? It's going, it's like this weird little saxophone. I've told you I love you before, right? Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. He can draw it out for so long all just by his reactions alone.
It's like
alone.
A 10-minute scene, dude.
It is. And he's just, like, especially when it's, like, staring him in the face from the windshield. He's like, okay. Like, I love seeing him do that, you know? God damn, he's so good.
I did want to tell our listeners about some bear survival tricks, though.
Okay. One more thing before that.
Yeah.
I think Lyle Lovett's right next to him. Looks just like Lyle Lovett anyway.
And why are there windows down when there's a bear 3 feet away from
just
him?
Just watching.
Hey. Hi.
Hey.
All right. There's only one thing you got to know about bear survival.
Okay.
Okay.
Stop, drop, and roll?
No. If it's brown, lie down. If it's black, fight back.
Okay.
That's the only thing you need to know.
Okay.
Brown bears, you just cover your head, cover your jugular, lay down. They'll eventually go away. Black bears, you got to be a badass.
You got to
make yourself big.
Go big. And
so are they saying black bears are more dangerous? Or are they
black
saying
bears are,
you have more of a chance?
I think you have more of a chance against a black bear is what they're trying to say. So I just thought you guys should know that.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome, everybody. Okay, that's the show. We'll talk to you next time. Bye.
Speaking of bears.
Just
kidding.
I'm starting to feel like bears are going to be a big issue in my life here. Mike, what's going on?
Swisher, Iowa, dude.
Swisher fucking Iowa.
They're coming.
They're coming back in. Hey, there's been wolf sightings in Iowa again.
Wolf den wares?
You're excited about that.
Well, yeah, I do like that, but but it's not bears, okay?
Speaking of bears.
Hey, I'm the edgy local girl who smokes and lives with my grandma because my parents died. You don't want nothing to do with me. I'm edgy.
I love Cammy.
Yeah, dude.
I had such a crush on Cammy as a child.
Oh, yeah. Cause I mean, still today, dude, she is smoking
and she's hot. Edgy.
Yeah.
She knows what she wants.
She gets a little crazy.
As we'll
talk about.
A little wild.
Yeah.
Well, she really let down that tough girl attitude like within, immediately. She's like, I love you. We're boyfriend, girlfriend.
That's
now.
The it's thing,
like,
man.
Whoa.
So what are we? Girlfriend? After one night?
Wow. And you're leaving in 2 days.
Yeah. I'm so mad at you. You're a typical guy. Like, I've known you for one night.
Yeah.
I don't know what you want me to do.
You don't know how local I am.
You don't.
I love Cammy. They do a really good job. So how old do you think Buck is in this movie? Buck's like 14, 15.
Yeah.
Or maybe is that too old? I don't know.
I was saying 16, 17.
Okay.
I was at 15, 16. Okay, so I think we're in there.
I think back to like vacations we would go on, even from a younger kid, even into my high school. But there was always that like... another family that would be on vacation with you at the same time. There'd be a girl.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, you know, summer romance. Yeah. You know? Man. There was one girl that I met in Florida that I kind of kept in touch with for a little bit. And then you realize that I'm never going to see you again.
Why are you doing this?
But still it hits that. Maybe that's one of the things of this movie as a kid that drew me into it was that aspect of the movie. Yeah. I loved that little thing, like he goes off on his own, he finds a cool girl. Like definitely, maybe that'll happen to me next vacation.
Yeah. Definitely, as I got to that age and I watched this movie, I'm like, oh, yeah, maybe that will happen to me. And when I go on vacation next or something like that. No, I get that. That is really fun. The summer romance thing is a special thing, and it being represented in this movie is pretty good, I would say. So one of my favorite scenes in this movie, and just solidifies how much I love John Candy, is the scene where he's just standing on the dock, and Buck comes up to him, and he's just like, yeah, I'm just sitting out here. What are you doing? Let's go on a boat ride. You want to go on a boat ride real quick? And he's like, I don't really want it. Let's go on a boat ride. So I don't really want it. We'll check out some stars. And he eventually coaxes his son into the boat. And so they're just hanging out, and that's like honestly something my dad would do. He's like, we'll just come on the boat, let's just go on the boat for a little bit and we'll just look at some stars. And he turns it into like something weird to me. Like, he's like, I want to give you something. You're not gonna kiss me under the stars, right? I was like,
what the fuck?
What do you think?
Are you?
What the fuck kind of relationship?
What do you? What the fuck? What the fuck did you just say to me? Yeah. Where's your head at, dude? That was weird. But I love that's. I don't know. This is kind of where I want to gush about John Candy. If you guys have any gushing to do, I love him, and I love him. Like, he's just like, we say Tom Hanks is America's dad. John Candy might take that throne, to be honest.
I think so. I think he's one of the, and from everything you hear from everybody, we talked about it in Uncle Buck.
Yeah.
All the stories that are underlying everything. When he did die, all the actors that like gushed about him. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's probably one of the best of all time.
Yeah.
And like, and he, whoever he is in this movie makes me, I feel like that's who he was in real life.
I feel like every role he puts that in there.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I feel like, he's one of those rare actors that we actually kind of got to know as a real person through his roles, because he's such an affable person, you know.
I think and therein lies the brilliance of his performances, is because I think they were picked well, but at the same time he played them so easily, you know, because it was close to home for him. You know, and I don't know. This is one of those. I was obviously too young when he did die, but I can. Everyone always asks you, like, what celebrity death really affected you? And you're just like, fucking none of them.
Yeah.
But then I think back to it, and you're just like, if I was like coherent enough for John Candy, that probably would have been a big one to come across the news, man.
Yeah.
Whew. Yeah. Well, and so we've got fun little montage. I loved his kids of all the go-karts and the golf and stuff like that. And I don't know, the horseback riding was kind of fun.
Yeah.
Watch it. Yeah. Hurry, catch up or else the Indians are going to get you. Then Annette Bening's laugh.
It's just a couple like set pieces.
Yeah. And right. Nothing too crazy.
They're fun. I like the way John Candy looks as he's walking up. He looks like a blind man.
Yeah.
It just looks funny to me. But anyway.
But then they split up and go to the bar, which is where there's some objectively adult content that happens that I never picked up on a kid's. We talk about the spin cycle.
Yeah.
And she goes, does that really work? And she says, you ever seen Wider Whites?
Mm. All right. Like,
wow.
Wait a second.
Whoa.
Wait a second.
Yeah.
That's actually a pretty important scene between Connie and Kate, I think, because I didn't know for the longest time how they were related, but they are the sisters.
They're sisters.
Yeah, and I think that's I feel like they don't hang out that much.
Oh, they are.
Yeah, they are sisters.
Yeah, they're the sisters.
Wow.
They're the relation, like, direct relationship here.
Okay.
So, Chet and Roman are
brothers-in-law.
Yeah.
So the sisters are having their conversation, but then the brother-in-laws are hanging out at the bar with Wally, and,
yeah.
and Roman's got a great line. He says, "I gotta take a pee." He goes, "Time to introduce Mr. Thick Dick to Mr. Urinal Cake." Yeah. What? This is a PG movie. What are we talking about?
Everything he says is some sort of backhanded brag, man.
Yes, everything.
Everything. It doesn't matter what it is. In some way, shape, or form, he's bragging or backhand complimenting or just saying. He's the quintessential, well, I'm just asking questions kind of guy. You know, it's like with the skunk hair, he's like, what is that, some sort of neo skunk do you got?
Well, he's got the
Roman
hair.
Yeah. He's like, Roman, would you just leave it alone? And he's like, well, I'm just asking. He's got the hair.
My fault. He's got the hair. Yeah. That guy's name that played Ridge, did you recognize him?
I didn't.
He wasn't in much. His name's Britt Leach is his name. But where I recognized him, he was Gary's dad in Weird Science.
Oh, yes.
Where he's like, Gary who?
Yes.
Like, that was him.
Nice.
And honestly, his performance is pretty incredible.
It's good. Six times.
Six times?
66 times.
66 times. In the head. 66 times in the head?
And the
It actually reminds me of a funny story, because he goes, you never met anybody more in tune to the barometric pressure than Ridge. You see him running, you see him running for the hills, you take cover.
You take cover.
But there's a meteorologist in our area here in Iowa that came to one of my band shows once, and the weather was supposed to be bad. Kosh, Kai O'Mara, love that guy. And he told me before the show, he said, weather's going to get a little iffy tonight, but he goes, if you see me pick up my lawn chair and leave, you have 10 minutes. And sure enough, like two songs in, he just stood up, picked up his chair and left. 9 minutes and 59 seconds later, it was the most torrential downpour I've ever been
a part of. I find it fucking hilarious that a meteorologist is like, the first sign of weather is out. That's what
I'm saying. I love weather, but I don't stick around for it.
I'm done. I'm out.
Can I just say one thing? I just love any 80s bar scene.
Dude, thank you.
I just love any 80s bar scene. The wood paneling, the glasses that they're drinking out of, the neon signs. It's always like what we consider like throwback beers now. Mm-hmm. There are bars that literally have a throwback deal or whatever
That's true.
And it's Pabst Blue Ribbon or Hams. Old Milwaukee.
Tell me you
Hams.
Don't want to sit there with me and have a party.
Oh, my God.
Exactly.
Yes.
Tell me you don't want to sit there.
He's holding up a still frame of the all three of them at the bar. It's perfect.
I want that so bad every single time I see this. We saw it in like the bowling alley in Uncle Buck.
Totally.
And, like, just there's a lot of these little scenes.
Oh, our wedding. Singer, the bar they go to there.
I want to be at those places,
man.
I want it so bad.
All right, so moving along, that evening they discover an issue with a bat in the cabin. The next day, Chet is challenged to eat a 96-ounce steak called the Old 96er at a family dinner, which causes Buck to be late to his date with Cammy, causing issues in their budding relationship. The next morning, the fellas have an eventful fishing trip.
It touched me.
Been touching you for a year.
You never freaked. Not you. That's such a good line.
I lost my mind, dude. I fucking love that so much.
Oh my
it's been
God.
Touching you for 10 years. You never freaked.
You even see, too, even then she goes, you can tell they don't really like Kate. Like, nobody really, because she goes, it attacked me. And even Buck goes, God damn it. Like, he kind of turns his head and looks away. Like, I hate this lady.
Another scene I love from the bat scene is when he walks up to the door. He's like, I'll go check it out. It's fine. It swoops right by him. He, like, immediately takes off. He's like, it's about a 10-pounder. Well, Roman's like, oh, wow.
My wife even pointed it out that there was some reverse psychology going on there. Like, Roman says, it's your cabin. Go inside and get it. And he goes, no, I don't want to. And then Roman goes, well, fine, I'll do it. But then Chet goes, no, hold on. I'm going to do it. I'm just thinking about it. Like,
I'll take care of it.
They're having this little who's the more of a man war kind of thing.
Yeah. Roman looks like Ned Kelly, and Chet looks like the Unabomber.
It's kind of a cool outfit, though. It's kind of awesome. I like him.
The whole scene is this is my favorite, like, slapstick moment of the movie, I think, because the other ones don't really do it for me, but this one's really fucking funny.
Did you notice? So they get the bat, right?
Yeah.
And Roman says, we've got to get some sleep. And he hits it with a fly swatter, which makes no sense. He hits him with a fly swatter. But before that, Roman goes, we got it. Did you recognize that line at all? He says the exact same line in Ghostbusters after getting Slimer. He goes, We got it. Nice little Ghostbusters ad there. And same thing from the same guy.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's solid.
I like that, man. Have you guys ever had a wild animal in your house before?
I don't think so.
No, like I feel like there was some sort of situation when I was a kid. Like the reason that this movie is so reminiscent is because I do remember very distinctly a camping trip we took when I was a kid, and it was like me and a lot of on my mom's side. We went up and we all stayed in these cabins, and I'm pretty sure if I remember correctly, there was in fact a bat in the cabin. It was not this dramatic, obviously.
No.
It was like, I'm pretty sure they just like were able to like shoo it out or something. Or somebody was literally just like, it's a bat, I'll fucking grab it.
And Don't worry, I'll go get it.
They literally like were able to like snatch it up because they're not that hard to catch actually.
When they're sleeping, you can just catch them.
Yeah, you just kind of, yup, and you just got it. And then they're kind of freaked out, and then you just let it go outside, and then that's it. That's all it ever takes, guys.
Bats carry rabies, among other things.
Do they?
Like, got to cause some tension there.
Yeah, I've just been like,
wow.
Wow.
It's about 10 pounder.
We've gone
this whole time. We haven't really mentioned the raccoons, speaking of like rodents and stuff like that. It's just another dynamic that's fun with the movie. I like the subtitles and everything like that. And then the music of ba 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 boom.
So I got a theory. I think the raccoons this time around, I was like, man, there sure is a lot of this. And it's really not doing anything. It's not like advancing the plot,
right?
But I think here's what my guess is that they spent like a lot of money and time setting up these scenes and getting the raccoons to do what they want, that they're like, we got to put it in there.
We should make it a bigger deal.
In fact, I like to read the taglines of the movie. One of them was raccoons, furry friends or masked menace. That was a tagline for this movie.
What the fuck?
It sounds like a small town like headline in a newspaper.
It does, right? You're right. We have. Did you stick around for the end credit scene?
Yeah.
I had never seen that until this time.
Super fun.
Yeah.
Oh.
But so we get a little bit more of Connie or Cammy. Cammy and Buck's interaction. They're like, you're not gonna ditch me, are you?
I like that song.
If I ditch you, you have my permission to never speak to me ever again. It's like, okay.
Oh, I guess you're gonna ditch
it. Yeah, they kiss, foreshadowing.
They kiss and they zoom in on. I'm like, yeah, let's zoom in on the kiss. Yeah. Jesus Christ. Anyway, they go to the 96.
You're talking about my girlfriend, man. Cammy. Yeah, let's go to the old 96er.
Yeah.
The name of the restaurant, anybody?
Mm-mm.
I didn't see it.
Paul Bunyan's Cupboard. Cupboard. Did you see the fucking menus that they had on the table?
They're like tree logs.
I'll have the bucket of salad. It's like, oh, I'll split that with you. Oh, God, well, yeah, okay, good. That'll make it easier.
I want to go to that restaurant.
Hell yeah.
It looks amazing.
And I want to do the old 96er.
I do too.
Just because, like, I want to try it.
It's like, really not that. Like, 96 ounces isn't that big.
It's a lot of meat, but it's not like...
It's not outrageously big. Right. I mean, it is, though, but...
If I hadn't eaten all day, I could probably do that, bitch. But
I
would like to believe, anyway.
I love the shot of it when
they open the fridge. It's
home of the 96er. And it's just like, I feel like it's like the zoom in on some sort of like dead body or something. And it's just this big slab of meat. It looks like a big pot roaster brisket just hung up there on a hook. A meat hook.
You're just like, call me crazy, but I love every bit of instrumental music from this movie. Like, even while he's
totally.
And then the cuts away to Cammy waiting,
yeah,
where it's the music kind of stops. And then boom, right yeah. back, right back to what he when he's eating it. The my favorite part that I noticed this time around was you get to the gristle and nothing on the plate but gristle and fat.
Yeah,
and he turns back and he says, Roman says, if I can get a dessert down him, you think you could throw in a couple Paul Bunyan hats for the kids? Yes. And then they leave and they all have Paul Bunyan hats. So he ate his dessert too.
Well, I love when he's like halfway through it. He's like listening to his stomach. He's like, you're up processing nicely. He's like,
he's holding on to Roman. Don't make me eat this.
He's gripping him. He's just pawing at his jacket sleeve.
That's a really good scene.
Again, it's just coming back to John Candy's facial expressions that are just so over the top, but you love it so much.
Again, we talk about this with a lot of actors. If you take that actor out of that role, right. It just falls apart.
Yep,
100%.
John Candy sells this movie.
Yeah, some of the reviews I was going through, a good majority of them did say, if you took Candy and Aykroyd out of this, you wouldn't have a movie.
Absolutely not.
And like, sometimes you're like, you want to debate it and stuff. And it's like, well, it's John Hughes and this and that. And it's like, well, in this case, you're like, well, no shit, Sherlock. Because it's
that's
like
what the movie was sold on.
That's like what it was sold on, man. Like, of course that's what it is. Like, this movie was created, like, it was written, but it was created by those two, and those people, like that's what it was. Yes, it was written by John Hughes, and it was direct. There was good direction, and you have all these good, solid pieces and parts. But that movie was made by those guys, mm-hmm. So it's like, yeah, of course you can't take them out of it, man. Of course you can't.
We talk a lot about how times are different from the 80s and 90s till today. One major difference in this plot is that there was no such thing as cell phones.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But Buck and Cammy would probably be married to this day if there was such a thing as cell phone. He could just be like, my dad's eating the fucking old 96. Hey, like, sorry, I'll be just like, wait around.
Okay, cool.
See
hey.
You
Do you just want actually?
Do you just want me to
meet
come
me at the 90s? At the
yeah, just
Paul
can
Bunyan's?
You come to the Paul Bunyan's cupboard?
Be my family. That's cool.
Actually, done deal. That's what Buck's doing during this entire dinner.
That's all you would have had to do, man. Like, yeah, it's like actually, if you just want to come and meet me out here, or I can meet you at the Wanapapitpitpitpitek
Lake Potawatomi-Mac.
Potawatomi-Mac.
And he's checking his watch, which is upside down on his wrist.
Yeah, that was a move back then, dude.
Fucking pisses me off.
That was a move back then, dude. Don't judge it.
Must be some sort of like U.S. Marine operator. Oh yeah, okay. It's about to jump out of a jet.
1,800 hours.
Yeah.
Did you catch too one of the? I don't usually talk about like goofs in a movie, like you know, because they happen, right? But did you catch one of them when they got back to the cabin, and they saw that the raccoons had broken in, and he's like, look at the size of the maggots on that meat. And John Candy runs to the bathroom. They all follow him, and then they run back out because he throws up. Right?
Yes.
Did you
I saw this?
So Dan Aykroyd, you can see him plain as day, going 3, 2, 1, like with his arms, he's counting down when they should react and run back out, and you can see it plain as day.
Oh, okay.
He normally don't call that. Yeah, they run and he goes. You can see him 3, 2, 1.
Poor timing on like kind of the camera and the out of shot, you know. And yes, absolutely.
It's probably like the last shot of the night. He's just like, I'm gonna direct this scene.
Dan, you're gonna cue this up. So just make sure you get over to this point. And then it's like, who gives a fuck? Let's get done.
Fucking shit.
Working with kids, god damn it.
All right, so final scene. Roman lies about an old memory and baits Chet into a large investment opportunity. The family say their goodbyes, and Roman and his family head back to Chicago. On the car ride home, Roman, now feeling guilty, halts the car and returns to the cabin. Upon his return, Roman confesses and apologizes to Chet. Before they can get too far, a thunderstorm hits and they discover that the twins are missing. Chet and Roman find them at the bottom of an old mine shaft. Roman takes his daughters and escapes the shaft on his own. Chet is chased back to the cabin by the bald-headed killer bear from his story earlier. As the bear is threatening the family's lives, Chet shoots the bear, blowing the fur off its rear. Roaring in pain, the bear runs out of the house. The next morning, the families part on amicable terms.
Or do they?
Blow it out your ass. Nobody is blowing anything out their ass. I don't know why that line sticks with me.
So good.
But I say that all the time.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, but that's, there you go.
Yeah.
Aunt Fine. Kate and Uncle Roman are incredible buttheads. Exactly. That gets a little intense, man. Like,
yeah.
It's been building up and Chet can't take it anymore.
What Roman does to him is really fucked up.
Yeah.
Makes up that story about him getting drunk and everything like that.
Psychopath.
It is very, very fucked up.
Yeah.
And he knows how unbelievably nice of a person Chet is that he doesn't have that money, but he feels bad. He doesn't remember saying that, but if he did, he needs to make that up to this guy who's treated him like shit his entire life. Yeah. He needs to make that one wrong right and writes him a check for 20, for 10,000. I think he writes him a check for 10,000.
Yeah.
You can see it on there, and then he'll get the rest of it to him on Monday. But Jesus, man. And Roman's happy about it. He like smiles and puts it in his little thing, and
it's crazy.
Man.
I don't like it whatsoever. But the where are the girls? They're probably out in the rain. Somewhere summoning King Paimon to come and spread violence and carnage upon the land in exchange to give them everlasting life. No? Well, they're out in the rain. That's for fucking sure. I hate him. I hate him.
Kara and Merit, dude.
I agree with Roman. He should get rid of them. They should have left him down there. And, no, I'm just kidding.
They're, like, they're probably hanging out in some abandoned hotel in an elevator shaft or
might
whatever.
Might be, dude.
Before a blood wave comes along.
Yeah.
I don't know. Something.
Something like that. trying to hang out with Danny somewhere.
Yeah, fuck.
You know, so Roman, for the first time in his life, uses the dad strength. Because you know how dads just are stronger than other guys? Just it's some weird thing built into you that you have kids, you're strong.
Yeah. You're just strong.
That would have been so hard to do, to crawl up a giant incline with water coming down from it, pulling a rope with two kids on your back. Yeah. But Roman summons dad strength.
Dad
and
strength.
He goes for it, dude.
Yep.
He does.
Your kids, Roman, get down there. For once in your life, give a shit about your kids.
Yeah, no kidding.
I do like the dynamic of, like, he's like, oh, I'll be right back. I'll get some help. He, like, then they come out of there and they totally forget that, like, he must be back at the thing. And, like, he's like, no. He comes back and is encountered by the bear. And I got to say, the shots of whoever it is running from the bear look absolutely terrifying.
I'm probably sure they're real.
Bart the Bear's trainer, probably, or something like that. Like, highly, highly trained bear, but you never know. Like, even in that shot, it just looks terrifying to me.
Yeah.
You know who the unsung hero of this entire movie is? The stunt double underneath the door.
Oh, my God.
I was thinking
that's a real person.
That's got to be at least, how, like, 600 pounds?
Yeah, and then, like, jumping.
Bouncing on him.
That guy may not have survived.
He ruptured something. That guy definitely, like, a spinal.
Yeah.
Something's wrong.
I rewound it to see if it was just like a stunt, like a doll just kind of move. No, there was a real, and that human looked to be like, this is not good. Get me out of here.
Yeah. They're like, well, did we get the shot? And they're like, yeah, but I think he's dead. It's like, well, but we got the shot, right?
We got the shot, right?
Good job, Bart. That's a wrap on Bart.
Yeah, all right, Bart.
Wrap on Bart. Great job,
guys,
Bart.
Guys,
I felt so bad for Bart too, man. Like, I'm an animal lover, and I hated when animals like
I know.
And that just that terrifyingly bad voice of the bear. I are we sure that's the sound a bear makes?
I'm not entirely sure.
So in that moment, right? And like Wally comes with the guy, like, and this is again, this is the most quintessential, like, the faces in this movie, like, of it's if this was shot any worse, if this was like I don't know, if this was like a B film or a C film, you'd be completely out at this point. Yeah. You'd say, this is the most bullshit thing. These zoom in things on their faces. And like, they're just over the top acting. Like, you would not buy into this whatsoever if this was like any less of a budget of a film. Right. I like John Candy's face, the mom and Buck and whatnot. And you're just like, wow, it's really over the top. Dan Aykroyd, even.
His might be the most over the top.
Yeah.
He's just like mouth agape and eyes wide and not making a sound. It's super funny, dude.
Yeah.
But I think that what takes the cake is John Candy. When he first gets in the door, he's like, big, big. So he's like, we're making sandwiches. Big. Okay, I'll give you a big one. Big bear.
Big bear.
Big bear. Big bear. Yeah, big bear. Like, big bear chase me. Big bear chase. Big bear chase. Big bear chase.
And that shotgun lamp, man.
The shotgun lamp.
He plugs it in. plugs it in to shoot it. Or it's loaded.
It's loaded. Oh, okay. It's like, so I will tell you that this is one of the moments that when I was a kid stuck in my head.
Oh, yeah.
So brilliantly, but I was also really sad as a kid because just like you, Mike, I didn't like thinking about him getting shot, and it sounded really sad when he was running away.
He's just doing what he does. He's an animal.
But I will tell you that it was maybe the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life at that age when I just do.
They're just clean off.
Because that's what a shotgun does. That's exactly what a shotgun would do.
That's all it would do, apparently. It looked like they blew a bunch of air like at a bunch of feathers.
That's what the lamp part of the shotgun does. The lamp blows the hair off.
And I was like, oh, but now it's sad.
Dang it.
One of my still to this day favorite scenes is the credits, is the dance scene.
Yeah, man. I'm just thinking to myself, I love the end credit scene, but I'm also like, what kind of lake resort is this having like a key party in the middle of their like get together?
It's kind of tight.
Like, it just looks like they're straight up like, because Dan Aykroyd's like looking at people's asses all over the place and touching people. I'm just like, is everyone fucking? Like, that's cool, I guess.
It's the end of the summer party for these bad people.
I feel like that is Dan Aykroyd. The person that is in those scenes, I feel like that's what he is in real life.
Okay.
I don't know. That's just the vibe I get about Dan Aykroyd.
Totally.
Because, I mean, dude, what's the name of that song? It's called Land of a Thousand Dances. I love that song. Yes. And I think it fits so well to end the movie the same way we came in on that kind of like, woo, feel good.
Watusek.
Yeah. It's so good. But I got a theory about what happens to Roman Craig.
Okay.
Ooh. Ready for this?
Okay.
All right, so they go home. Roman's going to be living with Chet. Things go good for about a week or so. He's flying high off this newfound life that Roman has. Like, I'm going to do good, and I'm going to treat people well. He's feeling like a new man, but he's still having trouble getting back on his feet. So his wife, Kate, ends up leaving him because she's clearly, I mean, her character is very into the money, and you know, she wants those material possessions. She ends up leaving him, so he kind of falls back into his old ways. He needs to get on his feet. He needs to start making money again, start scamming people again, trying to get like a rich person. He screws over Chet, throws him out. So he just starts going, like, he just starts doing bad things, right? Eventually he ruins his name completely and is forced to vanish and go like for a full-blown identity change.
Okay.
So he gets into a business that he's super passionate about after he's made that name change, cars. He loves the automotive world. He quickly realizes after working at a car dealership that auto parts are a great industry to get rich on.
Oh.
He starts his business in Chicago and begins taking over the Midwest like crazy, buying out all other small companies in order to achieve more wealth and notoriety. That man's name is Ray Zelinsky.
Hell yeah.
Auto Parts King.
Auto Parts King.
Oh my God.
He seems like a nice guy.
Say, I mean, like, you know, cutthroat guy. He learned that now he can't, he just needs to be full on cutthroat and be good at what he does.
I love it.
Yeah. Chicago.
I mean, that's what I'm saying.
Yep. Yeah.
Headquarters are in Chicago.
Yeah, Midwest, bro. Yeah. Wow.
It's right. Not on the box.
I think we're going to have to do that one.
I can't wait for that one.
All right, so that's the end. Now we got to give it a rating, guys. We strip away that nostalgia. We talk about what our modern-day rating is. AJ, start us off. What'd you think, man?
I had a fun time watching this movie. This movie is this odd phenomenon to me that I'm sure a lot of people can identify with. It's one that you think or you see on the shelves and you see it and you're like, I don't really feel like watching that. But if somebody puts it on and you still felt that way, you'd absolutely watch it. So that's how I feel about this. I don't know if maybe some people will think
I get that feeling.
You'll think about movies that you feel that way to you, right? And so this is one of those movies that I'm like, I don't know. It feels like almost a chore to put it in. Mm-hmm. But once it gets going, I'm all in. So that being said, although I'm not reaching for it to put it in, I'm happy to watch it. And I think that means this movie is going to be a solid 6.7.
6.7. What about you, Sean?
I'm just about right there with you. Some of the jokes and the gags get tired after a while, but honestly, it's the human jokes in between, like the reactions of everybody and just the dialogue and everything between everybody that really get me. The placement of the time, like the Camp Potawatomi, or like I love
a dog a bone.
Yeah, I love the location and everything like that. It makes me feel like I'm going to a cabin and everything like that. It's entertaining. I will watch it just like any time I'm just like looking for something to watch that's just like I can just turn my brain off. 7.3 for me.
7.3 for the Sean. So I just think that this is a very similar movie to Uncle Buck for me. Like good writing, but it becomes what it is from the actor and John Candy being the one in Uncle Buck, but this time you've got John Candy and Dan Aykroyd,
right.
Which maybe it's not as clean of a movie or as good of a movie, but those two together are unbelievable. They're such talents. This is a very nostalgic movie for me, but even stripping that away, you take these guys out of the movie and this is just, again, it's just like what is this movie, right?
Right.
But they run it so well. And so I gave Uncle Buck a 7. This is a 7.1.
Okay.
Because you've added Dan Aykroyd to the mix.
Sure.
Strictly because of that.
Strictly.
And because Cammy's in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You gotta love Cammy.
Well, we hope you enjoyed the episode. It means the absolute world to have you guys here with us. Tune in next Wednesday for another movie review. We're coming at you with AJ's pick. Major nudging from Patreon earlier on, and it's time. Terminator 2, dude.
Yeah. Let's do it.
It's our first time skipping over an original, moving right to the sequel.
I'm so excited.
But it has to happen.
We'll
do Terminator 1 someday,
but we will.
We got to go Terminator 2.
We'll be back.
It's important, guys.
We'll be back, and we'll get, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah, we'll all be right. back.
Thank you.
After that, we're going to discuss our top 5 fall movies to get us in the mood for spooky season. Did someone say Halloween?
Yeah. Spooky.
Suicide.
So please keep hanging out with us. Again, we'll reiterate that Patreon. Go click on the link here in our bio. Check out the Patreon. You can help us vote for some of the Halloween episodes we're going to be talking about here. And there are a few other Patreon members we got to thank. If you want your name on here, sign up for that $10 tier. Travis Hunziker, Brian Hernandez, Nick Fulkerson, Kale James, Senior Frog, Mr. and Mrs. Roommate, Greg Jackson, Jason Davis, Daniel Skaggs, Emilio Perez, Skylar Brunson, Jordan Hooten, Brenda Meisner, Willie Cox III, Janelle Lewis, Joseph Thomas, Marshall G., Riker Garrison, Mitch Kavanaugh, Ryan Carlton, Sean Dixon, Dana Dane, Josh Miller, Macy Connor, Jason Botsford, and Stephen Moore. We love you guys.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
All right. Well, I think that's it for us. AJ, tell us how they can take us out of the whole thing, do that kind of thing.
Thanks for listening, guys. The most important thing you can do right now is to follow us on social media at Confused Breakfast on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. And if you're on Twitter, Confused Be Fast. You should also subscribe and leave us a review on your podcast platform of your choice that you're listening to on right now.
Also, will you please visit our merch store? We have merch, you guys. Shirts, stickers, koozies. Go check them out at confusedbreakfast.bigcartel.com.
And don't forget about our voicemail number. We want to hear from you. We want to hear those sexy voices. 319-804-9596. You can find links to everything at our website, confusedbreakfast.com. Tell your friends that's your mission this week. Get them to listen to an episode.
Guys, you can always find me anywhere on social media. It's AJ Venz, AJAYVENS, anywhere on social media online.
You can find me TikTok and Instagram, SeanPryor237. Goodbye.
And I'm generally called Mikey Schulte on things, but sometimes I'm not. So you're just going to have to like click on the links and the things and find us, okay?
Yep.
Got it.
Well, that's it for today's episode. Goodbye.
Deuces.
Bye.